wasn't too long ago, I was right down here at Wise. They had lit up one of their little signs declaring one of the lanes to be the express lane. I was behind this sweet old lady. Clearly couldn't count because she had double the amount of items that the little lit up sign said that one ought to have. With a little bit of difficulty, she got one item after another onto that belt and it went down through. She stopped and had a conversation with the clerk a while. Finally, when the clerk could get a word in edgewise, she said, "Well, your total is." The lady went for her purse. And I thought, seriously? You weren't expecting to have to pay? You weren't getting ready for express lanes? And then she pulled out of her purse the most frightful sight anybody in line could ever see, more frightful than a gun. That's right, a checkbook. After she got her checkbook ready to go, she went back in for a pen. The clerk offered her pen. I offered my pen. "Oh, no, it's in here somewhere," she said. And finally, she found the pen. I swear she balanced her checkbook before she put her pen to that piece of paper. So this morning, we're going to talk about being patient and kind to our fellow travelers here. That's her waving goodbye to me on her way out of the store. I think she had arthritis. There was a problem. Loving our fellow travelers on this planet, being patient, kind, loving. 1 Peter chapter 2, first three verses. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Father, I think that we're guilty of having a higher estimation of our maturity than we've actually attained. It's so easy for us to see the faults in everybody else, and so difficult to see the ones in our own soul. This morning, by your Holy Spirit, help us. And as we leave this place, stay with us. Speak into our ear. Lord, identify these things in us that are not right and help us to get rid of them. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text, of course, like most texts in the Bible, are predicated on the paragraphs that precede it. So back in chapter 1 and verse 18, we read that we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 22, he adds, "so that you have sincere love for one another." We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. It has worked a work in us so that love is becoming the order of the day inside each one of us. And so since that is the case, we are to rid ourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Peter's telling us there's no room for these kinds of things in us. If we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we have joined that movement, we've been bought with a price, we now represent the kingdom wherever we go. It's not just about me and what I look like and what people think about me. It's about what are they going to think about my Lord when this conversation is over or when this interaction has been through. Therefore, honor God with your life. Live as though everybody does know that you're a Christian. Maybe they don't, but live as though they do, and you are representing your Lord, your God, your Savior. Nor can we deceive ourselves into thinking that we can feel all these negative emotions on the inside while we fool everyone with fake kindness and insincere words. I don't know how far to go with this because it's probably going to get me in trouble here, but I think women are very good at picking up nuances. I know I can see a conversation between two ladies, and they look very happy and delighted with one another. And as soon as the conversation is over, you know, one will say, did you see that? Did you hear that? No and no. Well, she was glaring at me. Really? I didn't. And did you hear that tone she was using? It sounded delightful to me. Yeah, I don't know. But yet each goes home convinced they really pulled it off on the other. They were just all smiling and using like, well, and they told a nice story. To me, observing from the outside, it just looked like a really nice conversation between two people that really loved each other. But then when you talk to either one afterwards, oh no. And so it dawns on me that women pick up all those vibes. In fact, my wife often picks up on things that I'm not even thinking. That's how perceptive she is. And so don't deceive yourself into thinking, I wear this mask. I appear something other than is it. You got to get the heart right. Because of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. And we work so hard on making an appearance that is not what is genuinely inside. And you have to be careful because it is coming out in one way or another. Note that one of the things that Paul said we need to get rid of is this thing called hypocrisy. And when I'm trying to put a show on for you, and yet my mind is saying something else on the inside, that it's just not good. Got to get rid of that kind of stuff. There's no points here for trying to cover up ill feelings in your soul. Now, certainly, it's better not to express anger and hatred and bitterness and those kinds of things. But in the sense that I need to work on that, God help me not to be this person that I find myself being. Help me to be loving and kind and those things that you honor. Here's something about life you need to know. Basic equipment you need to learn in kindergarten. There will be times when you are inconvenienced in this world. There will be times that other people will trouble your soul. You are responsible for how you respond to the ignorant things that other people do or say. You are responsible on how you respond. I know we love to blame everybody else. It seems fairly logical that it's their fault, but I have a responsibility to guard my own soul. Some people, and more people than in times past, have resolved in their mind the way to handle this is to get a gun and go kill somebody. It happens on highways now. It wasn't too long ago. A young woman, only in her late teens, was killed by another driver because he perceived she cut him off. He got a gun. He snuffed out this beautiful young life because he felt she cut him off. And what if she did? Is that worth a life? Well, I'm sure if we interviewed that guy today, he would be, I hope that he would be sorrowful and say, I was dumb. But he got so angry. How do we get so angry in the moment? I would submit to you, it takes a lot of practice. That there was a lot of opportunity. We got angry in a lesser moment, but we did not discipline ourselves. We let ourselves go. Maybe it felt good. Maybe we got other people to do what we wanted them to do because we got so angry. And so we did not discipline. It's not just one day we wake up and I think I'm going to go shoot somebody today. There's something growing in there. You get a student who has been bullied for a while. That's a terrible thing. But what gives them the right to go kill somebody? I mean, likely, the people who are shooting other people have never been shot themselves. Would you agree with that? Hey, you haven't been shot, but in your mind. I think this is why Jesus said, when you hate somebody in your heart, that's the sin of murder. Because if you allow that to keep on going, you keep justifying all the hatred and all the bitterness, you're getting a lot closer to literally killing somebody. You gotta tone it down. You gotta pull it back. You gotta realize this is just a moment in time. It's gonna pass. Next week, I won't even remember this. Well, I do remember that lady writing that check, but you know, for the most part, you're not even gonna remember what all's going on here. This text bases itself on the fact that Jesus' blood covered all of my sins. I have been ignorant. I have been angry. I have been vile. The blood of Jesus Christ covered. So it's like a pardoned criminal is going to hold other people for their crimes. I'm going to demand justice when I myself have been pardoned. His blood has covered my soul, and now I go out and I demand payment out of everybody else. You remember the way Paul put it in Romans when he said, "You, O man, do the very same things. Anything you condemn in other people, you, O man, do the very same thing." Happened to me again just this week. I saw a guy, I had my green arrow, and you know how much I love green arrows from sermons in the past. I got my green arrow, and two cars came through the red. You know, they're making their turn. Just said, ooh, you know. Boy, people like that. It's later that same day I was that person. But mine was fully justified, you see, because there was such a line of cars on the other, and there was no green arrow. You had to wait through the, so you understand why I went through. Maybe it was a little bit red of a light, but I had waited there the whole, so everybody would agree, right? Mine was justified. They're ignorant. I'm good to go. But yeah, but Paul said, who are you to judge anybody? You do the exact same. I do the same thing. But Peter comes and he takes that to a new level. He says, Joel, the blood of Jesus. Yes, the blood of Jesus. How can I hold anything against my brother or sister? What could I possibly say that they did to me was worse than what was done to Christ on my behalf? What could I possibly come up with? The blood of Jesus was shed to cover all of our transgressions, sins, misdeeds, blunders, and mistakes. Who are they to tell me? Well, who are you? Note that Peter's talking to born-again believers, people who have been saved. They felt the power of the Holy Spirit surge through them. And yet he lays on us the responsibility of improving our character. Therefore, rid yourselves of. How many would love it if at salvation we just got washed and we never had any ill feelings or thoughts, just perfected from that time on? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, it's like God delivered all of the tools necessary, but he says you're going to have to do the work, or at least cooperate in the work. Rid yourselves of. There's some things you need to get rid of. I've rubbed elbows with Christians all my life. And so often you can feel it even in a church. You tend to have some people who you really like and love, and you've always gotten along. You kind of think together. You have the same kind of ideas. And then there's the other people in the church. And you can almost feel a rift at times, and feel the coolness in the room when certain people are there together. Even Paul wrote, I plead with you, Euodia, I plead with you, Syntyche, get along with one another for the sake of the church. You can do this. You can get along with other people. Oh, how blind we become to our own roots of bitterness. And again, we think we can play that game. I can have this attitude inside, but I will, whenever I see them, I'll be all smiles and goody-goody, and it's all going to be great. Well, you have some weeding to do. And so do I. Just like weeding a garden, it never ends. Don't you find the enemy's always planting something in there? Just when you think you're sailing smooth, smelling good, I guess it should be, there's something else that happens, that little roadblock, that speed bump. Get rid of all malice and all deceit. Malice is desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another. Now, you've never felt anything like that, right? You know, you're just always happy with everybody else. Deceit. The act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Deceiving somebody. Peter puts these two things together. A desire to cause pain to another by deceiving them. That's what we're talking about, this false front. And acting like we love them so much. Acting like we appreciate them so much when that's not true from our heart. We act like their friend, but we treat them like an enemy. We talk one way to their face, but another way behind their back. I've been under a strong conviction in recent months to watch my mouth, watch how I'm talking about other people. The Holy Spirit would have us to be holy from the inside out. I defile my temple whenever I use my mouth to cast negative words against others. I'm defiling myself. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. So we have to be careful about the words that we use talking about other people. And then my words are seeds. I sometimes see myself as a dandelion, you know, that white fluffy, the seeds go everywhere. I throw seeds on somebody else's soul. Whenever I talk about someone to someone else, I am planting seeds. They could be good seeds or they could be bad seeds. But that person's attitude is going to be changed somehow by what I just talked about with them. So be careful what kind of seeds you are planting. Your perception at the moment might be terribly off. You might be angry at somebody and find out later you had no right to be angry. In fact, you should have been proud of them in the moment. You just didn't have all the facts. That's happened, right? So be careful what kind of seeds you're planting about someone else in somebody's soul. Sometimes things need to be said, but not nearly as often as we think they do. And we ought to say such things with the gravity, understanding the gravity of what we're doing. Peter says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit. Have you ever felt pretty good that you're getting better? Better is good, but it's not enough. All malice, all deceit has to go. Hypocrisy is the practice of appearing to others with a false front, intending to cause them to think better of you than you actually are. It's lying about who you really are. You're wearing a lie. Because the person you are isn't good enough, isn't acceptable, isn't right. You're confessing, I know what's right, and I'm going to act that way, but this is who I really am inside. Continually work at evicting hypocrisy from you. I don't think it's a question of, am I a hypocrite? I think it's always a question of, to what degree am I a hypocrite? And allowing God by His Holy Spirit to work out of my soul that which is deceptive, that turns other people's opinions. Keep a watchful eye for these predators. They're going to make inroads in your heart. Be like a farmer who keeps a gun handy just in case the fox or the weasel or the muskrat shows up to take some of the livestock. I remember the story of my brother-in-law tells the story of his uncle had a farm, and one of Roy's delights was going and visiting uncle's shotgun. It was sitting in the corner just in case an old groundhog or something was up. And then when Roy got a little older, that gun became so rusty and it got so old, just sat in the barn all those years. Wasn't hardly functional anymore. And one of the joys of his life was taking it home, taking it apart, redoing it all, and bringing it back to his uncle. He couldn't hardly recognize that. You got to be on the ready because there are predators out there. And these are our predators, my friend. Malice is going to try to get you. Going to try to get you bitter. Get you an opinion that isn't right. Deceit. Not just you will be deceived sometimes, but deceit is going to try to get you to become a deceiver. You'll justify things you didn't used to justify. Hypocrisy, envy, slander, all these things are going to try to get you. Not just get at you. Other people are going to throw them at you. We understand that. That's what life is about. But it's going to try to get you to become a host of these diseases. Envy is to fall into a funk because you don't have what someone else possesses. I don't think we ever grow up when it comes to envy. Someone else gets something and, oh, we love it. Oh, that's great. We were happy with the one we had until we saw the one they have. Oh, did you see what their grill does? Oh, wow. I got this junky old grill. Yeah. You know, and whatever it might be, envy is to fall into a funk. I wish I had a nicer car. I wish I had a nicer home. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. Envy. Envy will eat away at your soul. It will cause you to become discontent in the middle of paradise. When envy gets in there, correct yourself. Correct yourself. We pray about a lot of things and should pray about everything, but I wonder how many of our prayers come across to God as whining. Oh, God, I've been suffering with this old grill for how many years now? They make stainless steel ones, you know, God. And God must get his Kleenex out and wipe a tear from his eye. Oh, poor Joe. Poor Joe has an old grill. While at the same time, on the other side of the earth, he's got people that are worshiping him in prison. You know? Envy. Envy does not belong. By the way, I do have a beautiful grill. It is stainless steel. Cooked steak on it yesterday, so I just living the high life here. Slander is to utter slander against, defame, to tell an untruth that will harm someone else's reputation. You don't need to know that what you're saying is a lie in order for it to be a lie. You could just be misinformed. You can draw aspersions from. How often I have heard people say, there's no other explanation for it than it has to be that. Only to find out, no, it doesn't. There is an explanation for that. There is a reason. They slammed on their brakes because there was a little kid in the street in front of them. Now how do you feel when you laid on the horn? And we need to learn to live with grace. You can have a wrong perception of what someone else has said or done. In order to overcome all of these very human diseases, Paul instructs us in verses 2 and 3, crave pure spiritual milk. What are you feeding your soul on? If you're staying up late and watching Dirty Harry, go ahead, make my day. Arnold, I'll be back. You know, if you're feeding your soul all of this macho kind of, I deserve this and that, I'm probably in trouble already from the earlier things I said, so I'm going to let this one fly. If you're watching HGTV just to become discontent and more discontent with everything God's blessed you with already, maybe you need to change the channel. What are we feeding ourselves? I need this. I have to have that. I gotta. Now, some people can watch, HGTV and it's all good, But some folk crave pure spiritual milk. God, I want to get better in you. I want to know you more. I want my heart changed. I want to grow up in my salvation. You know, when we're born again, we're babies. Just starting all over again. It's a whole new modus operandi. It's a whole new default system. There's a whole new set of rules that we need to learn and grow up in. Grow up in your salvation. Make that your goal. Many believers are destroying their own future with loose tongues and untamed hearts. They want things that they can never have. They want things that they shouldn't have. They want things that will destroy them. They're willing to sell their soul in order to go after wrong desires. Loose tongues and untamed. Discipline yourself. My becoming bitter is no one's fault but my own. I allow things to set in. Don't allow that to happen in your soul. Now that I've tasted how good God is, I have to choose whether to dwell in the goodness of God or the brokenness of others, or the brokenness of this world. Normally, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning these days. This morning, I was up at 3. And, you know, just had some things on my mind. But I'm doing a little reading in the scriptures. I'm in that part where God first gave Israel manna, and he set these rules down about the manna. And some of the people, God said, there'll be manna every day, okay? But don't collect more than you need for the day. And some people collected extra and kept it overnight, and it became maggots. And God was speaking to me through that. He said, Joel, you need to trust me that my manna will be there every day. In other words, in life, there's so much we can do, but every day there's something only God can do. And when we worry, we're worried about that part that I can't control. And God was saying, trust me for my manna. It will be there when you need it. And he spoke, I went back to bed. I slept till 4:30. Just, yes, that's right. God's got it covered. I don't have to worry. I need to trust that God's manna, the part I can't control, is going to be there for me every day. And I can't borrow from yesterday's. It's not going to sustain me today, not going to be any good, but I'll be able to find it whenever I need it. And I'm going to choose whether to live in the knowledge that the manna will be there, or I will struggle like everybody else. I can live in the brokenness of this world, and I can stress and worry, and no matter how many times I've conquered that in my life, it's always trying to make another inroad. Is that the way it is where you stress? You get on top of it, you're living in the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, and yet you find it just creeping in and creeping in until there your eyes are popped open early in the morning and you're laying in bed and you're worried about this and you're worried about that. Ah, wait a second. I got to get rid of that. That doesn't belong to me. Rid yourselves of all. I need to do some weeding here. I want forgiveness. I want mercy. Therefore, I must be forgiving and merciful. We don't get to pick and choose who we're going to love, right? God said we're supposed to love everybody. We don't get to pick and choose. So let love flow from the well of your heart. Some people are easy to love most of the time. Some people are a real challenge to love ever. Step up to the challenge. I'm continually fascinated how I can have two friends that I dearly love and they can't stand each other. You know people like that? You work beside people. You can work equally well with either one. They can't work together. I'm always fascinated by how that works. And I'm thinking, we can do this if we are willing to try. Life can change. We can love people that we haven't formerly loved. It may not come quickly. It may not be easy. But we need to keep working to rid ourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. We do that by craving the pure spiritual milk, growing up in the Lord, learning how to love one another. And if you have anybody in your life that's really a challenge to love right now, thank God for them. Because that's going to stretch you, and God's going to show you something through that process. Would you stand with me this morning? Your mercy goes forward.